Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 177, the box office report for the week ending. Why isn't there a date in my system, Drang? They don't do that anymore.
Just to spite you.
Why? Why do they hate me? Here we go. The week ending 9:13 a.m. No. 4:24:16. There.
Good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah.
It's impressive to watch, isn't it?
It's something.
Your computer.
It's hard to believe I don't get paid to do this anymore.
Anymore?
I used to get paid to do
this. Oh, you got paid for the podcast?
Free Monster Energies and record demos. And
checks in the mail.
No, I got paid for my witticisms on radio.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Michael.
We have a guest. We have Michael. Are you from somewhere besides your parents?
I am from my parents, from Earth. Yeah. No, I actually write for WeAreMovieGeeks.com.
Okay.
I write for Alive Magazine and AliveMagazine.com.
Heard of it.
And yeah, I try to make films on the side too.
Look at that. So, what have you made?
I'm currently
finishing. Don't say Batman versus Superman. Joe,
yes.
Joe will hurt you.
It's the best fan film ever. No, it's actually a documentary short film that will probably be finished in the next month.
Oh, cool. So, what's it about?
It's about a female artist who does these incredibly detailed needlework pieces, which like take her 6 months to a year to make, and they're extraordinary.
But it's like, not needlework of like butterflies. It's needlework of like the human body, like cut in half and like looking into it and like skulls.
It's some
and stuff.
Dark stuff.
It's yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you think needlework, you're like,
yeah,
but it's not
kitties and puppies and
it's
funny when you said needlework, cool. The first thing I thought was like the stuff that you buy at Disney World, like they sell the needlepoint with like, it's like pre-printed, so you can follow it. Obviously,
yeah, but like color, like by
but
numbers.
It's like
trees.
But it's like, yeah, like the Cinderella's castle, and
there's no patterns. It's pretty cool though that she does. They don't make patterns for that, and they don't sell them at Disney World.
Certainly. No, gosh, no.
So does she map it out, or like, and create her own pattern and then follow that, or is she just like eyeing that up and like, oh no, I'll just
oh no,
do it
yeah, right. No, she. There's a lot of planning. She does lots of sketches and color theories and, you know, trying to work it out in advance because, I mean, the amount of time
she
puts into
cheat,
it.
Then.
Yeah. It's obviously cheating. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, okay, so she's not just like, hand her a piece of cloth and
she doesn't just go to town like Rain Man and all of a sudden, you know, right. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just, I have no idea how that works.
I don't know.
My wife does that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is hard to believe that she's younger than I am, but she does that. Because that's like old lady stuff.
That is like kind of
I can
old
say
lady.
That because she doesn't listen.
Is your wife Martha Washington?
Yes.
Martha. Did you say Martha?
Oh, no.
Are we best friends right now?
Crap, I did it. Damn it.
I'm a friend of your son's.
No, you're not.
I'm
you
a friend
to
of your
son's. A spirit in his face.
Oh, let's not even get started on that again.
We already spent
an hour. I literally, after that message, that message I sent you guys, so I got into it with a guy on Twitter where he was just like, it was the greatest movie ever. Blah. It was the last screenshot was like, it's about helping people and making things right. And I was like, that's what you took away from that movie? He's like, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we saw a different movie then. I don't know.
I'm not going to win here in this conversation. Clearly, clearly I can't argue with this.
No.
Stupid.
Yeah. So there's levels of stupid where you can engage them. Then there's like,
is this guy a listener?
Yeah. No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
not anymore. Oh, yeah. I mean, was he a listener yesterday is what I meant.
That guy's an idiot. No.
Yeah. He's not. We love you.
So back to something better.
Yeah.
Where might we see this?
I'm going to submit it to the St. Louis Filmmakers Showcase, which their deadline is next month. So I will be working my tail off in the next coming weeks to finish it. So,
all right.
Sweet, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you.
We'll have to make sure we share that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a follow-up planned?
From there, I'd like to submit it to different film festivals, and I'm currently writing a script for the next film that I'm actually going to be working on with Kevin here.
How about that?
Ooh. So,
you should make a documentary about a podcast?
It's a documentary about a group of guys that hang out in a bunker.
I think we need some rewrites, Michael. Yeah. Totally unrelated.
In the Feet of the Night, too.
There it is.
That's the third film.
Oh, no, a trilogy.
Anthology.
Yeah.
That's right up Kevin's alley.
Yeah.
Anthologies.
Yeah. Your movie's going to be 3.5 years long. So I guess from there, we will segue into our shameless plugs.
Shameless show sharers.
And we appreciate their shamelessness. That them and Billy Joel or Garth Brooks, depending on who introduced you to that song.
Or Michael Fassbender.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was doing songs in my head. Yeah. Right. I was like, wait, Michael Fassbender did the cover of that song?
You were doing songs in your head, and Kevin's doing Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
I said, so.
So is my wife right now, too. So, there you go. Yeah.
No.
So don't forget, we're available on the iTunes. You can go there and rate and review and share us. And you can't share us from iTunes, but you can rate and review us. We haven't had one in a while, so if you want to break the streak, we'd appreciate it. We're getting close to 100.
I know.
I think we need to start threatening people that we're not going to post episodes until we...
It worked last time.
Yeah.
We had three of them come rolling in.
What's the next episode that we can...
Captain America.
There you go. Civil War's coming up, guys. Oh. If you want us... I don't know.
Because you know...
What are we going to do when we don't get one?
If Greek Is Greek Wedding still in the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll still do it.
We'll do that. We'll do every
time they don't get a review, we just do an episode on My Big Fat Greek Wedding too.
Yeah. So if you could go there and rate and review, it does help us a lot. When people stumble across the show, they'll see that other people have said good things. I should give this a shot. So
do it.
And it's
that's how I found it, Tom.
Is it?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. And it's the number's getting large enough now where they're gonna know that like this can't just be their friends anymore.
Right.
These are like when it first started.
They've run out of friends.
Have you listened to these episodes? They do not have 98 friends.
Right. Right? Yeah. So 10 minutes in, you're gonna be like, they don't have that many friends, even collectively.
Yeah.
So and you could help out by joining our League of Show Sharers, which stop by the Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And you can just click the little share button on the most recent episode and tell your friends about it. People that have joined the League of Show Sharers this week.
Yes.
Jason Antris. I still feel like I'm saying that wrong.
He hasn't corrected me.
But I say it differently every week. So
he's like, I'll get it at some point.
He shares. He just doesn't listen, which, right. I'll take it. Brent Smith, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julian Jordan, Ryan Breidenbecker, Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell.
Hey!
Good job.
Thank you.
Wow, enough. That might have been the first time you've actually...
43rd time's a charm.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Dustin at Nerds and Night Gaming, who started his own rival podcast.
He did.
Dirty bastard.
That sneaky, sneaky bastard.
I don't care that it's on a different topic.
Yeah.
I want there to be no other podcast this one.
Should we kick him off the RSS feed?
Yeah.
You're booted.
You're out of here, buddy.
You can't subscribe to this podcast.
So if he's got one on video games.
Yeah, yeah. So. Is it retro video games or just video games in general?
It seems to be so far, but he said the next one he's doing is MLB 2K16.
Oh,
so,
that's pretty recent.
But the last one...
Yes, 2016 is recent.
Well, the video games are like a year out.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I don't play them.
the last one he did, though, was Soul Calibur on Dreamcast, which is
way backy.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. A couple more here. Travis T. Witt. Lane Levanway and Timmy Tuzoons. So thanks for sharing, guys.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it. So so there are your shameless plugs. I think we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. This weekend, again, it looks like we've got another number one weekend for The Jungle Book. It made another $60 million. That's a 42% drop from opening weekend. It is now up to $190.6 million
That's
in
awesome.
2 weeks domestically.
What's up next for him? What did he have coming?
Favreau?
Yeah. Did he have something else coming down the pike? Or no?
I don't think I saw anything, but I don't know. I mean, you know, when you work on a huge project like this,
yeah,
sometimes you're not able
well,
to really...
Well, that's what he did. Like, he did Iron Man 2, and then
he did Chef. Right.
And then he came back into this. Yeah. Do you think he can get back into the Marvel? Like, Marvel's like, hey, come on back.
I actually heard rumors he is going to produce an upcoming Marvel film.
He is. That's right.
Well, isn't he the producer on almost all of them at this point?
He's producer on Infinity War?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah. I think, yeah, you're right on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's still Happy Hogan, right? I mean.
Yeah. Didn't they kill him?
Yeah. He still shows up in the movies. I don't think there's bad blood there. I just think he didn't want to do it. He just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if after there was the studio involved meddling with two, and that's kind of why it ended up like it did. He said, "I'm gonna."
You know, it's funny because I've been rewatching Jonas. I've been rewatching like everything up to movies, not TV shows. And like I just rewatched.
You have a family,
yeah. And I rewatched Iron Man 2, and although I actually liked it better than I remembered it, but it's very accelerated, and I mean that just in the like the timeline of their movies,
right?
Like they turned that movie around so fast.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Was that so when Iron Man, Hulk, Thor?
Yeah, yeah.
Iron Man 2.
Yeah, it was like right after that.
Yeah.
So they jumped right in and made that, and it's they lay the groundwork for so much stuff that we've seen up until this point in that movie.
You.
But
does it end up making it better retroactively?
Yeah, actually it does.
Because you're like, oh, this fit. Like, you know, like, oh, I know what they're doing.
Yeah, like there's things that almost seem like throwaway that you're in there and you're like, oh, wow, that was some good foresight.
What's the end credit scene for that one?
Thor, the hammer.
Oh, so that came out before Thor.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so
that was the hammer one where he found.
Yeah, it was like,
and the Hulk one was Tony Stark coming in to see Thunderbolt.
Yeah,
right?
So here I got it in front of me, got a nice little chart.
Yeah,
it was Iron Man, Hulk, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, that is pretty fast.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I actually like Iron Man 2 more than Iron Man 3.
You're the second person this week.
I know, that sounds blasphemous. Brian Spath. I was like, you're crazy.
I'm not a fan of Iron Man 3 at all.
I love Iron Man 3. I just think that writing was brilliant.
Yeah, I actually didn't care for it until I rewatched that. You know, like the first time I saw it in the theaters, I was like, yeah, it was kind of more the Tony Stark movie.
I was fine with it.
Oh, and that's what I liked about it.
And it's like, I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes.
I love Shane Black. I'm super excited for The Nice Guys coming out, but Iron Man 3 just did not work for me at all.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That Nice Guys looks fantastic.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It does look good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw a trailer for it again last night, the new trailer in theaters last night, and it just looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, really? That looks great. And he loves Monster Squad, so, nah.
Yeah.
that doesn't bode well for him.
It bodes awesome for him.
I don't think that makes us think better about the movie. I think now our perception of Ryan Gosling, I'm like, oh, I love Drive, but I don't know if I can watch it anymore.
That guy's doing something else, too. He's working on
Nicholas
something.
Nicholas Winding Refn.
After that. What was that one that we saw?
I was so let down.
Oh, my God, forgets.
Drive was so good, and then
that
happened.
That was a weird movie.
Just like,
it was a weird flick.
Yeah, I don't know. But he directed, what did he direct that was, Bronson?
He directed Bronson with Tom Hardy, which
was
so
also
amazing.
Super crazy.
Yeah, so it's,
and very funny.
Crazy. It's very, very funny.
But like, so yeah, Bronson, Drive, but then that other one, I just, I don't
he
know.
Got a little too in his...
Yeah. He did Valhalla Rising as well, right between Bronson and Drive.
Is that good?
It's weird. It's like a Viking film on acid.
But visually...
That's a win.
You know, his visual style is just like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It doesn't look like Favreau does have anything coming up directly in the future, but he is executive producing both Infinity Wars. So.
Sweet.
Well, they greenlit a Jungle Book 2 already.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I wonder if he's...
If he'll direct it or not.
I mean, if he wants to, I think
I'm sure
he'd have
to.
Because, I mean, obviously
producer
success.
He'll take that paycheck.
Jungle Book had a $175 million budget. It's already up to almost $200 domestically, another $246 foreign. So we're up over $400 million in 2 weeks.
You know what they did leave out, which we forgot to talk about, is the girl.
At the end?
Yeah. They don't mention that girl at all. Like in the movie, in the cartoon, he sees a little girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, Blue's like, stay away from them. They're nothing but trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they don't even mention that girl in this one.
Yeah.
Like, they don't see, you don't see her at all.
Right. No, I was, and I was during the movie, I was wondering, I'm like, okay, when they try to go to get him to go to the man village, like, is he going to see the girl carrying something or whatever? And yeah, like,
nope, Jungle Book 2, the Blue Lagoon.
Oh, I was like, Jungle Fever?
Jungle Book 2, Mowgli's Quest.
I think it
is that like a quest for puberty?
Reason.
Is that like a puberty quest? Yeah. That's what I was reading into this.
Yes. Yeah. I was. I left off. I omitted to tap dad ass. That's where I was going. Yeah.
Well, if you watch, I mean, because when you see it, it's like, it's somewhat, the girl's somewhat suggestive, and I think
she
if
is
they
a little
do
bit.
That with live act.
Right. No, that's like, that's why I was wondering if they do it, because
a 9-year-old girl.
It's like,
it's a kid. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Don't do that.
We're just gonna leave
she
that
bats
out.
Her eyes and right, he like right. kind of just
yeah. he's like oh.
trails behind.
That's why I'm glad they left that out, because I'm like thinking about that part. I'm like, that'd be a little weird.
She's suggestively eating a banana.
Yeah,
that was a bit much.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe the sequel.
You know the thing that, you know, when they take the cherry stem and then they tie it with their
yeah.
She did this. She peeled the banana that way.
Wow.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Do you have her number?
No, Kevin.
Oh, I married her.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That timeline adds up. Yeah, she would have been a 9-year-old back then. Oh, crap. Good work.
It's all about playing the long game.
Yeah. So number two at the box office, The Huntsman.
And the girth game. That's important,
that's
too.
It's also just as
don't
important.
Don't undersell the
yeah,
importance of the girth game.
You don't want to be hung
game.
Like a tuna can. That's,
right.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably better than mentioning the number two movie of the week, so let's just go to number three. Number two, The Huntsman. Winter's War opened.
Oh, that has a subtitle to this?
Yeah,
yeah.
The Winter's War.
Gotcha.
I feel like the subtitle for this movie was just like assigned to it by an algorithm.
Yeah, no.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was one.
Well, the full title, I think, was The Snow White Series Part 3, Winter's War, Allegiant.
This, yeah.
Based on a novel by Sapphire.
Yeah. But Huntsman came in with $19.5 million opening weekend. So
I wonder if that's...
I mean, it's just a $115 million budget, so...
I wonder if that's the premise of these movies now, like where they're just going to take, like, Disney, quote-unquote Disney stories and like,
do their own version
of it. Because that's what the first one was, right?
Yeah, like, it was a more adult telling of Snow White.
A reimagining of Snow White.
And this is a reimagining.
Well, they're looking at anything.
I saw another critic, I don't want to steal the line because it's good, he said this was a de-imagining of Snow White.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's some great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically looking at, like, what does this Disney have that they don't actually own?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
The Grimm's Fairy Tales. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we'll
so
like,
you
what
could so do how does Snow that... White, you could do Pinocchio. Yeah.
Peter Pan?
What's that?
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan is still owned by the J.M. Barrie estate.
Oh, you mean like what's
he,
in the
he willed
public
it to
domain.
The orphanage or whatever.
That's right. You mean like what's in the public domain.
Correct.
Well, you offer those orphans a hot lunch, I mean.
Yeah.
There was talk for a while that Paul Thomas Anderson was going to do a live-action version of Pinocchio with Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Oh, right. Right. I would love to see
you
that.
Said Robert. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Benigni again. Have you ever seen
that? That's bad.
That's a bad movie.
Hard pass.
Yeah, he was going to be Geppetto, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would like to see that. That'd be kind
but Jungle Book is public domain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That's
yeah,
why yep, Warner yep. Brothers is working on one.
Yeah, it'll be out in
we'll
2 years.
Yeah.
Once you've forgotten, there's a really good one out.
Andy Serkis, I think, is like one
directing
of the main
it.
People behind it.
Yeah.
It's his directorial debut. Yeah. So
he's going to be Mowgli.
He's going to be everything.
He's going to be all
the animals.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see it like a big budget movie where Andy Serkis plays every character? Like not a cheap indie thing, but like it's this huge product. I mean, he can do it.
I think that's the way it is now.
Is that how it really works? Okay. And Planet of the Apes, he's every ape.
Every ape.
Now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head.
Which one?
He's every ape.
That's terrible.
Is that Patti LaBelle?
I don't know.
She's every woman. That's
it was Whitney Houston, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know.
I think it was Whitney Houston.
I know exactly where you're going with that.
I'm not an R&B guy.
This is a nerd podcast, not a music podcast. Yeah. It's all right.
The Huntsman already made almost $50 million overseas, of course, so it's made
is
about...
Is Shaka Khan?
Shere Khan?
No.
What?
No.
Shere Khan?
No.
I had to edit that podcast and put that song in it. Oh man, I'm like, we should put a counter. I wish if this was a visual podcast, every time Tom said Shaka Khan, I could have put like a little number in the corner.
I never said Shaka Khan.
No,
I said Shere Khan.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's
touche.
It's like a Cinema Sins where it's like,
touche. Yeah, touche. But anyway, so yeah, The Huntsman is up around $60 million worldwide on its $115 million budget. So that was awful. Number three, Barbershop: The Next Cut is still topping the charts. It's pretty good. The Next Cut brought in $11 million, a 46% drop.
It's
in
number
week two.
Three, so it's a little off the top. That's a Barbershop joke for you. Oof. You're welcome.
No,
you're welcome.
No,
that may have been the first Barbershop joke on the podcast. We just need to commemorate this. But it's at $36 million, its second week in release. But I still think that's way low for a movie that, you know, I mean, I think that we kind of discussed last week that the franchise, it's a little late for a third one. Like, who was asking 10 years later?
But they've got to make it to the fourth one so they have a quartet.
Oh, that's
See,
what it
that's
is.
That's a good joke.
Well, I laughed.
I just wanted to.
We like our old timey barbershop jokes.
So anyway, I don't have a budget on that one again, but it's got a pretty hefty cast. So I don't know.
The guy from New Girl's in that. The only other black guy on the
New
Girl.
Oh, I see what you did.
The only other now.
Yeah, now
because there was another, and now there's
is Coach gone again.
Coach is gone again.
Yeah.
Winston's such a great character.
Winston's
in that
a great
show.
Character.
Oh my gosh. I felt like Coach screwed up the rhythm of that show.
He was great. He was when he was the original.
When
guy.
He, in the first,
well, he was only
yeah.
on for one episode. How can you really judge?
Well, he was great in that episode.
Yeah, no, it would have been great. And then he got on the other one. It just always confused me so much. I'm like, these shows are so similar.
That's not his fault though. Like he was on that other show. Yeah, Happy Endings.
Happy Endings.
Which I don't think they thought was going to get picked up.
That show was funny too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a good.
That
show.
That was a funny show, right? Barbershop. We'll have to see what ends up happening with that. But I think it's a little lower than they would have hoped there. Number four, though, Zootopia. We keep talking about this thing at the top of the charts again. In week eight, $6.6 million, a 19% drop.
That's
in
fantastic.
Week eight.
Deserves that's every insane. Deserves every dollar.
Yeah, like, I mean that's fantastic.
So we were watching, I don't know, some random Disney movie, and at the end of it,
Song of the South.
No, at the end of it, they had like a walk, like they were redoing like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, like I guess a ride at Disney World.
Yeah, Disneyland. they made a mine train.
Yeah, like a whole
ride.
Thing. Mm-hmm. But Jennifer Goodwin does like the walkthrough for it because I guess she was Snow White on.
Yeah, she is on Once Upon a Time. Yeah.
So my daughter is like, she hears her talk, and she was like, I know that.
Wow, that was good.
I know.
She
yeah,
up
yeah.
On
she
that,
picked
yeah.
up on it immediately, and I was like, yeah, who is that? And she was like, the bunny from Zootopia.
And she's
like,
only
that's
seen
right.
it once. Like it's not on yeah. DVD yet or anything. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That Seven Dwarfs mine train's fun.
Is it?
You haven't been back since they built it.
Yeah,
right?
They were building it when I was there.
It's really good. And you know the weird thing, just on one of our Disney tangents?
That you still can't be shorter than a dwarf to ride.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
And that's kind of it's kind of mean, don't you think?
Right?
You're a dwarf. Yeah, you're all ready to go on the mine train. You're thinking,
they let them build it.
This is for me.
This is the dwarf's mine train, and I'm going to get on it. And then you're like, nope, too short.
Yeah. I heard at the grand opening, they just told him to go dig for more jewels while everyone else was riding it.
They put him to work.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. The really weird thing about that, you guys know about the magic bands that you can wear, so you don't need your tickets. You don't need a credit card. Everything you pay with your magic band. And then now the photo pass will follow you around and take your picture without you ever having to put the magic band, like tap it to get your picture downloaded. So you're on the Seven Dwarfs mine train, you get on the ride, you ride it, you leave the ride, there's no photo station, and then they email you your picture and a video from the Seven Dwarfs mine train.
I swear to God, like
this. They just
now that's if you purchase the photo pass? Or
if you have a magic band, I think they send it to you because you can still buy it.
Got it.
But so now they just take your picture without you. I mean, I was bummed because I'm like, oh, I wanted my picture on this ride. And then in my email, I had a picture, but I never told them. It's just, it's called
God,
like.
I feel like the CIA is running Disney
Don't
World.
Use the bathrooms at Disney World.
But just think about
two places you don't use the bathrooms. Disney World and Chuck Berry's house.
Just use the right ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Just think about how much data they collect.
Hatemonger. I can use whichever restroom I identify with.
All right.
But can you imagine how much data they collect? Like now that they can take your picture without you even telling them, they know what seat you're on. The camera follows you. So that means around the park, they know who's there, what areas people are in. Like it's crazy.
It's more secure than a courthouse.
Yeah.
It's going to like bust a crime wide open on Law and Order or something.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, you're on the runaway mine train.
Yeah.
Colonel Mustard.
Olivia Benson cracks the case.
That's your alibi. Yeah. They're like, I was at Disney World. Prove it. No, here's my picture. Look at my timestamp. But
here's my fast pass.
Zootopia has now brought in $316 million domestic and $579 million foreign. It's up almost to $900 million worldwide.
That's awesome.
You know, it's funny you're talking about the. There's an actual episode of Columbo, not one of the good ones. One of, like when they brought it back as a TV movie, and it was basically just like Murder, She Wrote, starring Peter Falk.
Yeah.
And but there was one, and it was him, and I think Robert Culp was the murderer. And
is he a director?
What's that?
Was he? Did he play a director?
There was one where he played a director.
No, yes. that was
Robert Culp was on it a couple times.
Oh, I was like, that's what's his name?
Fisher Stevens.
Yeah,
I know
he was doing Spielberg.
Oh, Fisher Stevens was. Yeah, yeah. That's the first of the Fisher Stevens one where he plays a film director. Yeah. Was the first like Columbo. I won't say reunion because he's the only guy on the show,
right?
But the first like made for TV movie Columbo, when it went from the NBC murder movie mystery wheel thing to ABC like 10 years later.
Ah, was he directing a Bollywood movie wearing brown face?
No,
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 he was not.
Okay,
he was
just checking.
But you guys remember how he got busted because he had the streets.
He got the streets wet.
He had the streets wet.
Yeah.
But, well, because Spielberg directed an episode of Columbo.
Right.
The very first one.
And the rumor was always that, like, that maybe Spielberg had directed this episode.
I was like, Spielberg got away,
with
a murder?
Yeah. But on the Robert Culp episode that I was thinking of, like, the whole thing hinged on he was driving by. He was in L.A. and he had driven by, like, a camera. They caught him on a security camera.
Right.
You know, and so that was his alibi. But then it turned out it was he had, like, printed out a photo and taped it to his face. And that was how he had tricked the security camera.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was, like, okay, I am now watching Columbo for a completely different reason. I was watching it at one point because the show is amazing. And now I'm watching it because that's just bad crazy.
Well, there he is.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's what they did with Game of Death.
No, that was with John Davison and Kathy
Lee Griffin.
Crosby.
Yeah. And Fran Tarkenton. Yeah.
And
Remember the great battle of That's Incredible versus Real People.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Cue the music, Joe.
Things were hot. See, That's Incredible was a show where they would bring people on that did weird things. It was kind of like
America's Got Talent.
No.
Stupid Human Tricks.
We got to maybe make it even younger for him. It was YouTube.
Yes.
It was like, hey, I can blow up a balloon with my nose. And then the crowd would go, that's incredible.
Oh, I think I've seen clips from that.
So they went, like, That's Incredible was a little more on the sometimes freakish side.
Yeah.
And then there was Real People. And that had John Barber and Skip Stevenson and...
What was the black guy's name that he still, like, does, like, some movie review show?
And... Oh man!
Like a late at night,
and that was more the warm and fuzzy side of the story.
I'm with you,
and that's where people were first introduced to somebody named Richard Simmons.
Oh, really? He was a talent or one of the guests.
He was like a profiled, featured, one of the featured stories.
Is that guy still around?
That's he is. Thing? He's still sweating to the oldies.
Wow. Byron Allen.
Byron Allen.
That's the guy I was thinking of.
I actually think Richard Simmons has been like missing or something. I thought I read like a headline.
Yeah,
recently.
And then he said he made a statement that he wasn't, but
he
nobody,
did? Okay,
nobody
good.
Saw him. So
I was sweating the past couple
Signed
of weeks.
Richard
been
Simmons'
sweating.
Computer
to the oldies
to the oldies
to nothing but the Turtles.
it's been a rough couple weeks.
But you know what? Now how does that work? I mean, it's all relative. So now are the oldies different than they were in the 90s?
Yeah.
So, like,
yes. Oh, yeah. Go listen to 103.3.
Which is our oldie station locally
So oldies are changing.
Like,
they're always changing. So the oldies now are not what the oldies
were.
So,
like, the oldies that would have been on our oldie station here are now on, like, the AM station.
Right.
Is he sweating to, like...
He would be
Bachman Turner Overdrive, which is fitting because I think Bachman sweats to Bachman Turner Overdrive. He's a big dude.
He's a big boy.
He's a big dude. But yeah, so oldie stations are designed. If you ask me a radio question, you're going to get a 20-minute answer. So
did someone ask that?
You did. You asked about how oldie stations work. Okay. So oldie stations were invented to chase a certain age demo. They were wanting to target like 25 to 54 year old people, and so. When they started oldie stations in the early 80s, 25 to 54-year-old people had grown up listening to...
Like Elvis and
Buddy Holly and the Beach Boys and the Beatles, and it stopped around 1968, 69. And then because they called the format oldies, they kind of got locked into, like, this is what we play. And then at some point, they realized that their age demo was, like, aging out of... It wasn't like a... coveted advertising demo anymore.
Aging out of driving.
Yeah.
aging out of breathing. So they took that age demo and they slid it back, you know, mm-hmm. or yep. forward, depending on how your perception
like,
of time.
It's like a sliding scale.
Yeah. Yep. And so now it's like, so now oldies kind of starts with like on Clue, you'll hear the Beatles, obviously, but the Beatles still got played a lot in the 70s on classic rock radio. So like you didn't, they still felt like a current band, and you'll hear a little bit of the Beach Boys, but you will almost never hear like the Four Seasons or anything like that, like you used to, or the doo-wop stuff. And now it's like Elton John and Rod Stewart and Journey.
And Billy Joel. And
It's what was called classic rock.
Yeah.
So classic rock, it was, you know, and it was kind of because classic rock was also a way to avoid an oldies stigma.
Right.
But now, I mean, it's...
Now it's actually...
Oldies. Now it's something oldies, that was on the point, when I was listening to the point, is now on classic rock.
Some of it.
So like, Alice in Chains and some, you'll hear
the harder.
Yeah, it's
the,
weird.
The well, more like traditional rock stuff.
But so Sirius has a station we've talked about. This called Lithium.
Lithium.
And I'm still kind of like, at first I was like, I was sort of offended, I guess, because that was, I mean, and Tom and I, we like were heavy into like radio and classic rock early in our lifespan. And so it's weird to look at something now as, you know, like when Lithium came, when I started hearing Lithium, I was like, oh, you know, because, well, it's just because like, you know, that was like our 20s.
Nirvana.
So because it's like 90, it's basically, you know, grunge. It's classic grunge. And it's an odd thing to see packaged as sort of an oldies.
For
right.
oldies station,
I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Well, I work in the concert industry, and that's how I earn my keep.
Right.
And so the concert industry is kind of flux right now because these classic rock acts are dying. And so
literally.
Yeah. So what you're seeing is they're taking other bands and they're trying to elevate them to amphitheater, you know, to say that this band's worth 15,000 tickets. And so,
which is why you see a lot of them packaged
together.
Yeah. Well, but what you're starting to see though is they're starting to try and do it where they don't want to package them, right? They're trying to convince the public that
this one band
like,
is a classic
band. It doesn't need eight other 80s acts to tour with. It's the real. So one of the first bands they did this with was Duran Duran. Oh. And like Duran Duran has been playing like theaters and stuff. They've been good for, you know, 4,000 people a night, you know. And they've been doing that for 15 years, you know, and so they took a tour with Duran Duran. They took a show and they put out a new album and they
is still the original lineup.
Except for
Andy Taylor, the original guitarist.
Yeah,
they had the original guitarist and Warren Cucurillo from Missing Persons joined in. I might know this or not. And then Andy Taylor came back. And it was the original lineup, and then he left again. So I don't know who it is.
Gotcha.
Guitarist is the only thing that's not.
Yeah. Okay. So they like did a show with him at Red Rocks, where it was like them and who did they put on for support? It wasn't John Mayer, but it was kind of somebody like that.
Brian Adams.
No, because that's the thing is they don't want to do.
Like someone of that
super,
era.
Right.
They want
to be more like Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would pay to see Ryan Adams.
Yeah. And so, and like this band that maybe a year ago had come through and sold 4,000 tickets, like they sold 15,000 tickets.
Oh, okay.
And so now they're like trying to push Duran Duran out there as saying, like, this is
the band.
Like, Duran Duran is back. And it's like, but they never really went anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
But, and so, like, that's the. And
I
the,
think that's
and,
the. This Guns N' Roses tour.
Yeah,
is like the to me is like the one like if I don't go to concerts, I'm not a, like I don't like live shows, but like if they're not coming through here given Axl Rose's history,
right?
But like if they get anywhere close, like I'm going.
They're going to Kansas City,
yeah. or Chicago,
and they're one of those two. I mean, the official word is they haven't ruled out St. Louis.
Yeah,
if they had more dates,
if you can just like keep him like on that throne. And that way he doesn't leap into
the
crowd.
The Dave Grohl throne.
Right.
What they ought to do is make that throne a wheelchair, and then and then all the shows will finally start on time because he can't go anywhere.
You just
go grab the wheelchair and you wheel the son of a bitch on stage at 9 o'clock like he's supposed to be. And then you do it.
The point is doing like a Wayback Point Fest.
A Wayback Point Fest.
Which
yeah.
I looked at the lineup and I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm like, that would have been an awesome Point Fest in 1994.
Well,
yeah.
Like even like now, I was like, that's kind of for me.
Totally,
that's a very awesome yeah. Point Fest.
But it's funny that when you said Bryan Adams, because Bryan Adams is the next guy they're doing it with.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that they're trying to elevate. And Bryan Adams like came through and played the Two Hill, like which holds like a thousand people.
Right.
Wow.
And so now they're buying like but they're putting all this production behind them and lots of backup singers and this huge band, and they're like, it's kind of be like, no, it's Bryan Adams and it's nothing but hits, and you're gonna have a blast, and you got to go. And so
I saw the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Like they played, good Lord, 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
And they played everything you wanted to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they came back and did like a seven song of more stuff that they didn't get to.
Yeah.
That was an amazing rock show. Like
they played Baker Street.
They did.
I like their cover.
Yeah. That's a great cover.
But the concert industry is kind of having the same problem that oldie stations are, except radio station can obviously, when the band dies, they can still play the stuff. But
well, they don't sell records anymore, so the concerts are where they're making their money now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's you
wonder why ticket prices for concerts are so high,
right.
It's because you stop buying their CDs.
Yeah. Everyone,
right?
That's why. Everyone has Apple Music or Spotify for $10 a month. I mean, I know I do. I've had Spotify since it was a brand new thing. I've never canceled it. $10 a month, less than one CD, and you can get every song ever.
I have Apple Music, and the only reason I did that is because I had that you can access your original music library.
Oh, sure, that
from
you bought
cloud.
Or whatever.
Yeah, everything you have on iTunes, you can access from the cloud. So I have stuff that's like weird bootlegs that you can't find anywhere else. But
it took me almost a week to upload all my music to Apple Music.
The problem with that is though is like I had a bunch of acoustic stuff,
uh-huh.
and when you uploaded it, it's the original like. For whatever
reason,
they tag
it as the original.
They tag it as the original. Oh, that's confusing. Like I have to put everything manually onto my phone.
Right,
but that's the only problem with it.
Yeah.
So number four.
That's a tragic, that's a tragic first world problem.
It is. Yeah, I know.
So Zootopia still making a ton of money at number four. Number five, The Boss, Joe's favorite movie of 2016, but it may get bumped here pretty soon. Made $6.2 million, a 38% drop in week three. It is just under $50 million domestic, and it's got that huge foreign gross, $3.9 million. So, just a little over $50 million, but it's a $29 million budget. They didn't have a ton of money into it, and marketing.
What marketing?
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see where that is in a couple weeks. Number six, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, $5.5 million. 39% drop for that one. It is at $319 million domestic in week five. So it is a pretty low domestic on a movie like that.
On a movie of this magnitude,
you know, that should be a $700 million.
To put it in perspective, Zootopia was released 3 weeks before and will end up outgrossing it. You know what I mean? Like it's
for
at 316,
right. Yeah.
And it should be petering out, and it's outgrossing it week to week
with 19% drops.
Yeah.
With Zootopia, huge. I mean, Batman v Superman. I would have at least. I mean, no matter how the movie turned out, I would have said like 500, 550. You know, just because it's that big of a movie.
Yeah,
the low 300s. That's. Yeah, but it's doing gangbusters overseas still. It's at $521 million foreign, so it's at $836 million worldwide, which is just a little under what Zootopia is. But it's the flip flop there.
Yeah, but
the,
Zootopia Zootopia shows no signs of stopping.
Yeah,
this is gonna
will be in theaters the week before it comes out on DVD.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, so out of the Batman v Superman, we're probably gonna see a reshuffled slate of DC movies, right?
I mean,
we do
know
that the Affleck is doing.
Yeah,
a standalone Batman. Yep. And I think everybody's like, cool.
Yep, I'm fine.
I've heard
that.
No person say they don't want to see that because no one has a problem with Batman and his portrayal.
Like great.
Everyone's like Batman.
Do
but
it.
Telling you, Superman.
I think we get to. So we know we're going to get Wonder Woman. That's a done deal.
Yeah, and that looks awesome. Everyone's excited for that.
We know we're going to get Suicide Squad. We know we're going to get Justice League. After and then the solo Batman. After that solo
Cyborg.
Batman.
I don't think Cyborg's.
That's not gonna happen.
I think Cyborg's like the Inhumans.
That's exactly
for Marvel.
If Cyborg happens, I think it's gonna be like, you know, on Hulu.
Hulu original.
Yeah.
No. Don't forget also Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
They've already announced that, and you know, there's rumors of like who's gonna
You know what I'd
be
like to see
that.
Is a Zack Snyder Corps.
Oh, come on, man.
You had to take Prince, but take Zack Snyder.
I found out what happened with Larry Fong, his cinematographer. He couldn't make Justice League because he's doing Skull Island.
Oh.
He's a cinematographer on Skull Island.
Really?
So it's like you said,
someone
realized his talent because, I mean, obviously he
can
comprise
cool.
an amazing shot. The guy is an awesome cinematographer, and Skull Island's a big budget type of movie. So,
oh, that's a huge. Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah, that's their shared universe. Yeah, that's where they merge them. So yeah.
That's a tentpole picture. He's on absolutely. That, and so since he's planning all that and wrapping that up and the next thing or whatever, like he just couldn't make Justice League, but
yeah,
so not a bad blood type of thing. But he got snatched up. So,
but maybe they'll use that as an opportunity to lighten up the universe. Brighten up.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
how about just make it not suck?
Yeah, right. That's all I asked
you
for.
Can make dark good. Like a Christopher Nolan trilogy had super dark, but it's...
They just thought that everything was supposed to be dark.
Right.
They don't get that there's...
This Jungle, this Jungle Book's going to be super dark.
If this movie was any darker, it would just be on the radio.
You know, I think that's the main mistake. What it all comes down to is the Nolan trilogy was super dark, and it was super good. And it had Christopher Nolan, who's an excellent filmmaker, you know?
Well, and it was grounded as close to reality as they could get it. Yeah. I mean, they really didn't get very...
There weren't superheroes. Nobody had powers.
No,
they took everything that's iconic and they said, okay, now how do we put this in a real world like
setting?
Like even just like the prongs off
of
the
gauntlets.
The gauntlets. It's like they gave that a
real
reason.
Real
like,
world.
They showed,
right.
Oh, that's why you have that. It's a
bottle opener.
Yeah, exactly.
So
after a long day of fighting crime,
yeah,
you need a cold one.
But you know, the dark and grittiness of that trilogy really worked with grounding the movie in reality. So they mistook that being dark is, well, everything has to be dark, but they missed out all the other elements.
You know what's funny is, you know who else made this mistake? The entire comic book industry.
Yep.
They did the same. Like back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Also, everything became grim and gritty.
Because of Frank Miller.
Yeah, because of Frank Miller and Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And because of Watchmen and Dark Knight. Everything had to get, and then the Punisher got really big, and so everything, they thought everything needed to be
and
like
not
that.
Every character is dark.
Well, that's the thing I've been saying
since... Well, I don't know, Plastic Man's pretty dark.
That's the thing is, like, in the Justice League...
Well, when
League,
you can stretch like that, you're going to do some weird things.
You got a little weird stuff going on.
You're going to take it down an odd... It's going to make an odd turn.
That's why he was always so happy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll be right back. Do something.
But like in the Magnificent
Seven,
surprised
he ever left his house.
The Magnificent Seven version of the Justice League, the only character that's dark is Batman. Like the Flash is not a dark character.
Right. The Flash doesn't need to be dark.
The Green Lantern isn't a dark character. I'll give you Martian Manhunter. Like that guy has Wonder Woman's not a dark character. Superman is not a dark character.
Really? Yeah. But those movies,
they make you think that. But yeah, like Batman is the only corner of that universe that is dark. And that was one of the things when they announced this. I was like, oh, cool, we'll get the contrast. And it's like,
yeah, like that's the story you tell.
Right.
The story you tell is that Batman is the opposite of Superman.
Yes.
And yet they still work together.
Batman's in the shadows. And now he's looking around like, these shadows are crowded.
Yeah.
It used to be just me.
Even in the early 90s, they even made Spider-Man, who is like this lovable kind of character. They made him super dark with the Spider-Man 2099.
Mm. Yep.
Wasn't that the name of it?
They did a whole 2099 line of like these characters 100 years from now.
Yeah, right.
But it was like they were all, it was out of continuity though, wasn't it?
It was, but now it's not.
Oh, they
like
bring it in?
Yeah, like the Spider-Man 2099 is in continuity now.
Oh, gotcha.
Like he became
Spider-Man?
Miguel O'Hara.
So those books worth money now?
No.
Okay. I was like, I got some of that crap. No. Wait, are those worth money?
No, but they turned Spider-Man dark.
Can
when
my
they
kids
gave
go
him
to
the,
college?
They gave him the black
they
costume.
They gave him the black costume,
yeah,
too.
They changed his attitude a little bit. Marvel's got it. That's never going to change. But Warner Brothers is like, no, we got to go grim and gritty and like close to the real life. I'm like, you know you have aliens in these things.
You know
now,
they can
right?
fly.
Like, you don't have to be structured in
like
reality.
Batman is a real person, so you can put Batman in his standalone movie. Realistic, dark, gritty, real life. He has no powers. He's a real person. That's
when
why
you have
it works.
A character that can bench press like a planet.
Yeah. When you have a character that has a ring that can turn into anything, like a
race car,
or
a baseball bat,
It's always a big boxing glove,
which always I liked.
Yeah.
Like,
it's always like a
you
big...
can do anything in the world, and you made it a boxing glove.
Yeah. It
was always like just like I mean, based on you know. I'm just going to talk about Super Friends. Okay. It was always basically a shovel and a bucket. Yeah. And it'd be like, is that it? The shovel and a bucket again?
Of anything.
Let me scoop them up, and I'm going to put them in
a
bucket.
You know, animation technology. They didn't have computers back then. So, man, when you made that bucket, shovel.
It was a good-looking bucket.
You're going to recycle that footage as much as you can.
As often as possible.
Kind of like those Disney movies, like Jungle Book and Robin Hood, which is like exact movie.
Yep.
Doing the same
dance
on
dance and stuff.
Dance on a tree stump.
That's so funny.
Remember on the TV TV show V. Yes. It was always the same shot of that ship landing. Always.
Every single time.
Because it was like they ran out of money and they just would recycle footage, the special effects footage from the miniseries. And it was like, oh, that ship's landing. I'm like, why is a ship landing in a field?
That was
a Simpsons
gag.
Yeah.
Where it was like, sometimes the animators just get lazy. You know, it's like the same background like four times. Yeah.
It's like Paul Rudd on Conan O'Brien whenever he's promoting a new movie. Yeah. It's the exact same clip. I love that. And he's like, I'm not going to do it this time. And it starts off as something else. And then
it goes into Mac.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So anyway, Batman vs. Superman is dropping. I think once Civil War comes out,
this is going to be it's going to be so forgettable. Yeah. Like, I think Civil War is just going to destroy it.
Yeah, but it might come out on DVD faster, Joe. So
it
you
might.
Can watch,
yeah,
you can check
I don't
want
to watch it.
Number,
it's weird. I do want to watch it. Like, I was like, what?
I need
what
to see the extended cut.
I need to see exactly
to,
what your insane brain was thought this was a good idea.
Yeah,
which is them boning in a bathtub. You actually see Amy Adams' boobs.
No, you don't. You see
weird. No, I'm saying in this one.
That was a very weird shot. Number seven, Criminal, made $3.3 million in week two. That's a 43% drop from its opening weekend. I don't have a budget on that one. So, Tom, that's the body switch, Ryan Reynolds.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Selfless Part 2.
Yes. You remember the name of the movie this week. Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you. Still couldn't remember it. Number eight, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, $2.1 million, a 36% drop in week five, only $55 million domestically.
How many screens is that on still?
It dropped 548 this week. It's on still 1,749.
So if we don't get any show shares.
I've already seen it, so
you're covered.
Good. Yeah.
The movie has only made $26 million foreign, so it's at $80 million. When you think of the original one.
I mean, the Greek economy is really bad right now.
They paid entirely in heroes.
Yeah. But the original.
Feta.
Yeah. It's just tzatziki sauce. That's all they
And Windex or whatever. The original made $368 million worldwide on its $5 million budget. So when you
there's another huge gap in between, though.
Sure.
But also, they had the show in between. And that didn't.
The show lasted six episodes. Yeah.
Is that right? It didn't even last a full season?
Sometimes it is just like, where is the demand for these? I mean, I know they're trying to mine existing properties just to try to make a quick dollar.
They
did, though.
Like, this movie couldn't have cost more than 20, 25.
Yeah, I bet you they made money. Did they do what they did last time? No, but last time was, that's.
Lightning in a bottle.
You're not going to. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a Paranormal Activity type of gross.
It was.
I mean, almost on that scale. It was.
They have.
I know for a time, I think it was the most profitable movie ever made.
Yeah, like, until that rolled around.
They
forgot. Paranormal Activity was like 20,000.
That whole franchise.
Paranormal Activity.
They're done.
Because didn't they totally go off the rails? Like they went so far away from what they originally started doing, and then you're like, how are all these characters connected? it's his brother's uncle's barbecue. And it's haunted because the guy that grilled the corn was related
like the
to the girl.
One through three
were on track.
Like one was the main people, and there was like her sister. Then three was a flashback.
Yeah,
and then four was the marked ones.
Right.
And that's where it started to go.
And there was a connection in the end, right?
Yes.
It actually did go back
to
the...
Yeah, like he ends up, like the guy at the end ends up running through a
portal or something.
Mika and what's her name's house. Uh-huh. And they're like, what are you doing? And it's the same actors. They're like, what are you doing here? And he just bolts out the door.
Bye.
And, yeah, exactly. And then the last one was like the camera. Like the camera, you could see the ghosts.
It was awful.
Okay.
Yeah. So, one, two, and three are awesome. But after that, off the rails.
There's some time saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let me see. I do have to rearrange here. Number nine is Compadres.
Oh.
Opening weekend.
It's the sequel to The Three Amigos.
Did you see Compadres?
I did not.
You did? It made $1.5 million opening weekend.
El Guapo's Revenge.
It's only on 368 screens, though, so, I mean, it's on...
I thought you said we'd wear the costumes. No, so it sounded awful and pandering. Oh.
It's on a seventh of the screens that Greek Wedding 2 is on, though, and made almost as much money, so I don't know. That might be one of those niche movies, like that one that we had a few months back that we couldn't figure out. It was making so much money, and it was...
Well, it was like a span... Like
it was a comedy. No, the comedy one where we're like, how is this making so much money? And it was on so little screens, but it was like just selling out every single theater.
Yeah, it was like for Bosnians, and it was like the only Bosnian movie out there.
Then they released another one like the next week. Remember that? Yeah. Where it was so niche, and then they had competing niche movies.
Yeah.
It was just like, what are they doing here?
They don't know.
So that one made $1.5 million. And rounding out the top 10, God's Not Dead 2 made $1.2 million, a 30% drop. It is now at $19 million. No foreign on that one.
I haven't seen it yet, but SNL did a parody of these sorts of movies called God's Not Gay.
Yep.
Yes.
It was awesome.
It sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
Because these movies are such straw men arguments.
This, SNL cast has been on point almost this entire season.
Yeah, that's
been
good.
Really good.
Yep. And honorable mention, just because we wouldn't want to leave her hanging, Miracles from Heaven, Jennifer Garner's movie at number 11, $1.1 million, a 43% drop. That is now up to $58.7 million and $5.2 million foreign. So it's in the 60s.
It's better love than her ex-husband's current release.
That is true.
Reviewed, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was like, oh, I was hoping to get
I bet the fan base likes that movie better,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it's a
but the intended audience enjoyed that movie more.
I hear it stays pretty close to the comics, so. Yeah. And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Michael. You can follow me on Twitter at M-P Hafner.
You want to spell that?
Oh, sorry. M-P-H-A-F-F-N-E-R.
There you go. People aren't going to know.
It's E-M-P-E-E-H-A-F-F.
That was like, what do we have? Like, Chris, what was the guy that did the, one of the, from the Kelly Mano show?
He had this long Polish name.
It was like this
luck.
Yeah, _ _.
And then we said, do you want to spell it? And he's like, no.
No.
No, we'll figure it out.
I'm like, okay. So, and this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom, or is it slash? Yeah, / Tom O'Keefe. I say it so
I don't
much.
Type in your URL.
I'm on autopilot. I didn't mean mine. I don't think I have I don't think I created a special coding for mine to work. It would work for everybody's, right?
The way you're talking about Facebook?
Yeah.
Everyone has a specific thing, and sometimes your name is taken because, you know, the whole world's on Facebook.
I mean,
you have like...
I was asking, is it a slash? All of a sudden I blanked and if it was a slash.
Oh, there is. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because I'm like, your Facebook link could be like T O'Keefe 32.
Right.
By Facebook automatically. Yeah.
No, because I remember when they switched over, I stayed up till like midnight. I'm like, I'm going to get my
own name.
You
got your Tom O'Keefe.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good job.
I think I'm probably like Kevin R. Brackett because I, you know.
So,
I don't have that problem.
Yeah. and nobody could spell it anyways.
Nope,
it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
So. I just figured out how to spell your name on Facebook. G-I-U. I'm like, son of, every time I try to tag you, I'm like, G-U, you don't show up. I'm like, what the hell? Okay, so now I know it's G-I-U-S-I-P-P-E.
Yes,
stupid name.
He said pee pee.
He said pee pee.
That's the only reason his parents named him that is so people wouldn't spell his name had to say pee pee.
Say pee pee.
Yeah. So also don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe, and that helps us a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. You can join our League of Show Sharers by going to facebook.com/realspoilers and finding the most recent episode and just clicking share and telling your friends about it. And then you will join our League of Show Sharers and we will read your name on the show.
Did we get their membership dues yet? Have you received those?
No, that's how I decide whose names I read first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there you go. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, it's The Huntsman, Winter's War.
Huntsman not starring Kristen Stewart.
So that's a selling point.
Yes, it is.
That is a selling point.
Back of Kristen Stewart's head.
So coming up next
They show the back of Kristen Stewart's head?
No, we'll get into it.
You know who else saw that? the director of that movie.
I was going to say, I didn't think they filmed that.
Yeah,
but...
The director of the movie saw the
they
back
did.
Of her head.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
That's out there.
One day.
Yeah.
Dare to dream.
Don't worry.
So. Edward Snowden's going to leak it for us.
Snow.
So that's coming up on the next episode, The Huntsman, not the other film.
It would be more entertaining.
It would be more entertaining, but it's probably only like a 3 or 4 minute film.
It'd be so easy to parody The Huntsman, but I'm not even going to go into it.
It's
just too easy.
Don't use that word in this.
I know. Low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit.
That's so the sequel. That's the next episode. You've been warned.
Meeting you with a view to a face to face in secret places, feel the chill. Nightfall covers me, but you know the plans I'm making still overseas. Could it be the whole?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.